WFAI.com.
If you want to, by throwing in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. I didn't know you could interrupt somebody in 90 minutes 82 times, but Joe Biden did it. And a lot of people say that's what he needed to do, that he was kicking butt when he was able to nail Paul Ryan on a couple of things. I think Paul Ryan, though, was very composed dealing with the laughing hyena next to him. That's what it reminded me of, as one of our great callers in Washington said, that really it was like that. And that's probably the best characterization that I've heard. It was kind of strange. Why didn't Martha Raddatz, why didn't she stop all the Biden interruptions? That would have been great. He kind of walked a slippery line between aggressive, domineering, and ridiculous, and that's the problem. All the faces, the clown faces, all the strange behavior. Rince Priebus, who was the RNC man, not surprisingly, said he was embarrassed for Biden. I mean, this is his gig anyway. His job is to make sure that he uplifts the Republican message. But it was easy for Rince Priebus to do it as the national chair, because in watching the debate, he saw the laughs, the interruptions, you know, all that stuff. And he made a funny comment. He was on CNN, and he said, "I was embarrassed for the VP." I mean, the laughs, I don't know who his debate partner was. Maybe it was Ed Schultz from MSNBC, because Schultz does that a lot when he's doing his monologue and stuff. So it was pretty funny that he made that reference. But, you know, there wasn't – the problem was is that Biden, in some cases, could have stuck to more substance, and so I think he missed the boat on that. However, – the way it will play, there'll be a lot of conversation about the interrupting and all that. But I think the way it'll play out is maybe in some cases Ryan wins the poll, or it pretty much was a draw. I think some people will say, yeah, you know, it was a draw. CNN did a poll right afterwards, for what it's worth. 48% of the vote went to Paul Ryan. Joe Biden got 44%. So make of that what you will. I would say that the Democrats and the Republicans probably both thought that their candidate was great. That's probably what they took out of that, you know. And they had a clock running for how many minutes each one had. Biden had 41 minutes, 32 seconds. Ryan had 40 minutes and 12 seconds. So how many people watch this sucker? Who knows? Will it make a difference ultimately in your vote? I mean, there's the question. Does it make a difference in your vote, this VP debate? It could have lent some insight into policy, because every time Ryan spoke, he would say, well, in a Romney administration, and Biden defended the Obama administration. So maybe there was something you got out of it that you didn't know, let's say. Probably that would be a big takeaway. But the presidential debates are the key thing. First debate done, Romney clearly won that. Second debate happens next Tuesday, and then the final debate is on the 22nd on a Monday. Then that's it. I mean, we're 26 days out from the election, folks. Will anything change? The legislative body, we have 33 Senate seats up for grabs, and all the House seats, of course. And there's some hot Senate races that we don't know which way they're going to go. It could affect the numbers of the House that may slant toward Republican or maybe stick with the majority being the Democrats. So let me give you the numbers. You are definitely clearly invited to this party left of left, right of right, I don't care. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283, if you want to ring in. Here's one moment I thought that was interesting, and look for the key word, bunch of stuff.
I was in a conference call with the president, with him talking to Bibi for well over an hour in stark relief and detail of what was going on. This is a bunch of stuff. Look, here's the deal.
What does that mean, a bunch of stuff?
Well, it means it's simply inaccurate.
It's Irish.
It is. We Irish call it malarkey.
Thanks for the translation.
No,
okay.
We Irish call it malarkey. But last thing, the Secretary of Defense has made it absolutely clear, he didn't walk anything back. We will not allow the Iranians to get a nuclear weapon. What Bibi held up there was when they get to the point where they can enrich uranium enough to put into a weapon. They don't have a weapon to put it into. Let's all calm down a little bit here. Iran is more isolated today than when we took office. It was on the ascendancy when we took office. It is totally isolated. I don't know what world these guys are in.
Thank heavens we have these sanctions in place. It's in spite of their opposition.
Oh, God.
They've given 20 waivers to this sanction, and all I have to point to are the results. They're 4 years closer toward a nuclear weapon.
All right, so you heard that there. Malarkey comes up, that it was a bunch of nonsense, and then Iran was the key thing coming out of that. There were some definite quotes you could pull out besides the little bit that you heard there.
This is a bunch of stuff.
It is a bunch of stuff. Here's a bunch of stuff I have for you. And this is key to me. The Libya thing was so upsetting, disconcerting because of the loss of life and the fact that it happened on September 11th. And it's the first time we've had that attack on the anniversary of September 11th, 11 years later. And on that attack that killed Ambassador Stevens and three other Americans, Biden said, I can make absolutely two commitments to you and all the American people tonight. One, we're going to find and bring to justice the men who did this. And secondly, we're going to get to the bottom of it. Whatever and wherever the facts lead us, wherever they lead us, we will make it clear to the Americans because whatever mistakes we made will not be made again. Ryan. Exactly. Ryan says, look, if we're hit by terrorists, we're going to call it for what it is, a terrorist attack. Our ambassador in Paris has a Marine detachment guarding him. Shouldn't we have a Marine detachment guarding our ambassador in Benghazi? Of course. They asked for one in March. They asked for one in July. They didn't get it because, guess why? Because the State Department decided they need to save a little money, so why don't we scrimp on the protection detail for one of the most dangerous places on earth when they are screaming that the guy, the ambassador, has a target painted on his back. And this is a place where we knew there was an Al-Qaeda cell with arms. What were they thinking? So I agree with Ryan on that. It's a known fact. Boom, period, end of story. That's why it's just a little bit of a mea culpa for Biden. Those were big quotes that came out of this debate. Ryan said, what we are watching on our TV screens is the unraveling of the Obama foreign policy. This is the focus of the next presidential debate. Guarantee Benghazi comes up. Hey, again, if you want to throw in your 2 cents, ring us up at 855-266-HATE, 855-266-5283. We're kicking the can down the road. Of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
You store guns, ammo, and food and water. But do you store peace of mind when it comes to your firearms? Now you can with Duracoat. The last thing anyone needs is a firearm that won't work when you need it most. Improve the factory finish and Duracoat your firearms once for a lifetime of protection against rust and corrosion. And Duracoat also protects against water, salt water, mud, grime, or whatever nature throws at you. The Duracoat Shake and Spray Finishing Kit has everything you need to finish a complete firearm for just $34.95. No need for an airbrush or other spray equipment. Just degrease, then spray on Duracoat and let dry for a lifetime of protection. Duracoat is the simplest and most user-friendly firearm finish you can buy. Use Duracoat on knives, camping equipment, or anything metal, plastic, or wood you want to protect from the elements. Call 800-830-6677 or visit Duracoat.net. Spelled Duracoat.net. Duracoat, the finest firearm finish on the planet.
He said, no, let the Detroit go bankrupt. We moved in and helped people refinance their homes. Governor Romney said, no, let foreclosures hit the bottom. But it shouldn't be surprising for a guy who says 47% of the American people are unwilling to take responsibility for their own lives. My friend recently in a speech in Washington said 30% of the American people are takers. These people are my mom and dad, the people I grew up with, my neighbors. They pay more effective tax than Governor Romney pays in his federal income tax. They are elderly people who, in fact, are living off of Social Security. They are veterans and people fighting in Afghanistan right now who are, quote, not paying any taxes. I've had it up to here with this notion that 47%, it's about time they take some responsibility here. And instead of signing pledges to Grover Norquist not to ask the wealthiest among us to contribute to bring back the middle class, they should be signing a pledge saying to the middle class, we're going to level the playing field. We're going to give you a fair shot again. We are going to not repeat the mistakes we made in the past by having a different set of rules for Wall Street and Main Street, making sure that we continue to hemorrhage these tax cuts for the super wealthy. They're pushing the continuation of a tax cut that will give an additional $500 billion in tax cuts to 120,000 families. And they're holding hostage the middle class tax cut because they say we won't pass, we won't continue the middle class tax cut unless you give the tax cut for the super wealthy. It's about time they take some responsibility.
Mr. Ryan.
Joe and I are from similar towns. He's from Scranton, Pennsylvania. I'm from Janesville, Wisconsin. You know what the unemployment rate in Scranton is today?
I sure do.
It's 10%.
Yeah.
You know what it was the day you guys came in? 8.5%.
Yeah.
That's how it's going all around America. Look,
you don't read the statistics. That's not how it's going. It's going down.
This 2-minute answer.
Look, Did they come in and inherit a tough situation? Absolutely. But we're going in the wrong direction. Look at where we are. The economy is barely limping along. It's growing at 1.3%. That's slower than it grew last year, and last year was slower than the year before. Job growth in September was slower than it was in August, and August was slower than it was in July. We're heading in the wrong direction. 23 million Americans are struggling for work today. 15% of Americans are living in poverty today. This is not what a real recovery looks like. We need real reforms for a real recovery, and that's exactly what Mitt Romney and I are proposing.
So the argument over the middle class and the 47% that just won't, that number won't go away. Remember, that was the number that came out of the private fundraiser that Romney spoke at that was mysteriously videotaped in May, came out a couple of weeks ago thanks to Jimmy Carter's grandson who somehow got the tape and then gave it to Mother Jones. 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. Not surprisingly, the economy and taxes and the middle class featured heavily in this vice presidential debate. So the 47% of Americans who do not pay income taxes are victims looking for handouts was part of that videotape stuff. And Ryan said that this is a man who gave 30% of his income to charity, more than both of us combined. He's a good man. Biden said, I don't doubt his personal generosity, but you know what? I know he had no commitment to the automobile industry. He just let it go bankrupt, period. Let's drop out all this talk. We saved a million jobs. 200,000 people are working today. And I've never met two guys. This was key. He said, I've never met two guys, Romney and Ryan, who are more down on America across the board. So they were taking some swings. You just have to comb through it. But they were definitely taking swings at each other. George in Kentucky. Hey, George, how are you?
How are you, Kate? It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm glad you called. I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I'm close to Danville, to be truthful. But, you know, I just, when I watched this, I was kind of, I didn't get to see it because of work, but I watched it, you know, on delayed TV. And I was kind of shocked to see that our vice president of the United States would act as this man acted. I mean, it was kind of kiddish, you know. But just think for one moment, if this man become our president, and I could see him in front of a group of reporters that were asking him tough questions or questions he didn't like, and he go into this mode like this. I mean, that just blows my mind. I mean, I just, you know, and he come across, you know, I know he was trying to be stern or above, you know, Paul Ryan, I mean, Mr. Ryan.
Sure.
And it just, I don't know, it was weird. It was one of the weirdest debates I've ever seen. It was, I'm ashamed of our vice president, to be truthful about it.
Yeah, I thought it was weird, too. Too many interruptions. 82 times laughing. That's not what you do. You can disagree. You can shake your head even once or twice. And then you have your chance to have a rebuttal, and you can do that. But you don't have to jump into the person the way he did. I think it made it awkward. I agree. And it was embarrassing.
Yeah, and this is a man that could possibly have something happened to our president.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, George.
Yeah. Well, God bless, and have a good night.
Hey, you too. Thanks for the call.
I'll get it soon.
Good, good, good. Thanks for the call, George. Always with some good opinions. And he's right. It's what I said. It was unnecessary. Was it for effect? Was it going to rally Democrats who were going to say, yeah, oh boy, get them. That's the thing to do. I don't think so. I have plenty of friends that are Democrats, and they thought it was lame. They didn't really think it added much to the debate at all. So give us the facts and cut the theatrics. We're all adults here. We want the facts.
This is a bunch of stuff.
It was a bunch of stuff. What did he call it, malarkey? Come on. I mean, Joe, really. And he's right. A heartbeat away from the presidency, he needed to handle this differently. Could he have attacked some of the points of Ryan? Absolutely.
In fact, that's a bunch of malarkey.
But the way he did it was wasn't good. I think it was very distasteful. It must have been rehearsed, so I think that Democrats knew this was what he was going to do, but I think it was a mistake to go in that direction. Will it have an effect on the election? Probably not. There might have been some information that came out of it that you knew, but I think it's more about the presidential debates more than anything, and that's the bottom line. Social Security came up. Medicare came up. A lot of different things across the board did. So that's good that some of that was getting out there, but too much time was wasted where it could have been focused on the meat. Give us the meat, forget the sizzle. I don't want the sizzle anymore. I've been to the circus. I don't want to see it. I don't know about the rest of you. I don't need to see fire eating and razzmatazzle and 10 million balloons and whatever, fireworks. Just give me the brutal, honest scoop on what's going on, because we've got serious things in front of us. You know, this is almost the end of October, and we have the Bush tax cuts that are hanging in the balance and a few other loopholes that could be closed or could be sewed up, but it'll affect all of our paychecks. Oh, yeah. That's what it feels like. We are all on the merry-go-round, and we're struggling to get a seat on one of the best horses that we can find. And unfortunately, the alternatives are not good. What we're looking around and seeing is the frustration because of the lack of governing. That's what it is. You know, I'm for a smaller, I say this all the time, it's no secret, a smaller federal government, but I'm not for no government. I think the government can be effective. It's just grown like a weed so far out of control. We got to kill part of that government, so to speak. In other words, we need to take out a pair of scissors and cut a few things out that will help that deficit pressure, because it's just gotten bigger, 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 just too big. It's expanded too much, and it's in too much of our chili over things that aren't necessary. So instead of wasting time there, we could focus on other things. And the debate kind of went in that direction, and then it veered off tracks thanks to Joe Biden with his interrupting constantly. You had to really pay attention to Paul Ryan to make sure that you got what he was saying because of how loudly he was interrupting him and talking over him, or you would have missed half of what he had to say. And remember, Paul Ryan is absolutely a future star in the Democratic Party. He already is a star, but he'll just keep on moving, especially if Romney wins the election. All right, coming up on the flip side, you don't want to miss this conversation, religion, how religion has changed thanks to a Pew Center survey. You might be shocked about some of the things that we have learned. Stay with us.
It comes another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is renovation teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
You know what happens to your digestive health around the holidays? Right. Unusual schedules and foods you don't normally eat can cause upset stomach and indigestion. But you can prepare your digestive tract with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse from Terraganics.com. Pro-EM-1 is all natural and made with certified organic ingredients. It contains no genetically modified ingredients or preservatives and has no animal products, wheat, soy, dairy, or gluten. Pro-EM-1 does not require refrigeration, so you can take it with you over the river and through the woods to Grandma's house. Pro-EM-1 supports a healthy, regular digestive system, supports weight loss, and improves absorption of food nutrients. Improve your digestion and keep off those extra pounds with Pro-EM-1 Probiotic Cleanse. Call or click Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com. Toll free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Conversations about religion and where we're headed with religion when we have reports that are coming out and studies that are coming out that show that 20% of adults claim absolutely no religion, and this is on the rise. So what does it mean? What's the impact of a faithless generation? Right now in the wings in our virtual green room, Dr. Monica Miller, Assistant Professor of Religious Studies at Lewis and Clark College. Dr. Miller, thanks so much for popping on America Tonight.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
First of all, let me get your reaction. When you heard that number, I have to tell you, I was blown away when I heard the study that said, and I looked at it a couple different times, I thought, maybe I'm looking at this wrong. 20% of adults claim no religion. Was that a shocker to you when you first heard that?
Well, yes and no. I think, Kate, that we've also been having this conversation about religious decline sort of on and off historically since about the 60s, that there are these kind of moments where our moral panic sort of rises around the religious identity of America. Now, what's interesting, Kate, about this new data from Pew is that while it's not that they claim no religion, is that they're religiously unaffiliated, right?
Yeah.
So that one in five Americans are now religiously unaffiliated. And so what people want to know, and it causes so much panic and alarm, what people want to know is who are they and what do they believe? Who are they and what do they believe? Now, I think even that very question in and of itself is part of the kind of moral crisis. It's part of the moral panic because it's traditionally understood that one finds belief, one practices belief in conventional institutions of faith. So if folk aren't in the institutions working out their faith or learning about faith, then where are they doing it? And I think that's part of the concern. Moreover, part of the concern is what do they believe? So I find the I find the panic kind of disturbing, Kate.
The panic's disturbing. All right, so, you know, there's a name for this. What's the name? What are they called?
So they call them the nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And more often than not, they're given that name because they, on surveys, when asked about their religious affiliation, they will check none of the above. Right? But so part of my concern is that even on surveys, there's a traditional way in which we go about describing what is religion and what is religious activity or religious practice. I think what this is teaching experts and the general public alike is that religion looks different now, is that religion is happening in different places. I think it always has happened in different places, but we have not really been paying attention. And so this is very dear to my heart because I'm in Portland, Oregon. I am in the center of what they call the nun zone, and I'm surveying religion among young people in general through a large-scale survey project that I have called Remaking Religion. And so what I try to do is, rather than ask them, do they go to church or where do they practice their spirituality or faith, I'm more or less kind of shadowing them. I'm going to those cultural places that are part of their everyday practices. I'm looking at tattooing and piercing and body modification and those and dancing, right, and those kinds of things. And it's amazing because it's not that young people have no belief. It's that they're making meaning in unexpected places.
So it's just changing. That's what you're finding, that it's just changing, and it's having people that are, I'll call them old school, learning to embrace that change, or will they embrace the change? Now that's interesting.
That's right, Kate. And, you know, I don't think it's, you know, I don't think this has literally just been dropped on us like, oh my goodness, we didn't know. This has been happening. It's just that we've been slow to acknowledge it. I think that religion in America has always been very textured. It's always been diverse. And then you still have people, Kate, and young people in particular, they go to church, but they're doing other things 5 days out of the week.
Yeah, so where are they?
6 days out of the week. They're doing other things that have meaning for them.
Right.
Now, Kate, what's interesting about the numbers and sort of what's behind the number is I think the panic over this is the drive to know what do they believe. We can't really call them Christian because they're not in churches. We don't really know if they're agnostic because, you know, they might have another form of spirituality. We can't really call them an atheist, and the data shows that the largest group of nuns, which is 68%, say they believe in God or a universal spirit. And within that group, 30% of them are certain that God exists.
Yeah, so it's interesting. So it's, you know, if you're spiritual but not religious, I mean, it's a whole different movement, isn't it?
That's right. And, you know, it's interesting that conversation is happening right now, right? A piece was written on the Huffington Post called, you know, Spiritual But Not Religious, and they had a Huffington Post Life segment about it. And that is a phenomenon, Kate, that I'm finding here in Portland, Oregon, to be very salient. When young people claim to be spiritual but not religious, what they're saying is not that they're involved in some sort of transcendental, you know, aspect of reality that is not necessarily considered religious by conventional or traditional measures. What they actually mean is they want to get away from the grammar of religion. So when they say they're spiritual but not religious, it's not really that they're not religious. It's that they don't want to be associated with the negative connotations that are associated with religion in our sort of hot political climate, and especially around social issues and hot topic, you know, hot button, you know, these kind of issues that cause a lot of emotion, right? So when they say they're spiritual but not religious, it's a move away from the grammar of religion through disassociation.
So here's the thing. Is this a more men, more women, or no, just kind of equal?
Well, it's interesting. So with the new data that came out, somebody wrote a piece on the Huffington Post about, you know, what is the profile of the nun? You know, what is, you know, what do they look like? And one of the things that they mentioned is that he's a he, right? So that the face of the nun is a he. And though fewer than half of Americans are male, 56% of nuns are male. So there is a kind of gender divide among nuns who what this person suggested are atheist or agnostic. 64% of this group is male. But there's also another way in which we're really sort of talking about dominant group folks too, Kate. Like here, even in Portland, Oregon, a lot of the young people tell me they're sort of part of this nun demographic, that they are not religious, that they're atheist or agnostic. But I can interview young, I can interview African-American youth, and I'm going to get numbers that look very different. So, in other words, I do think that race, class, and gender sort of cut across this nun discourse in very interesting ways.
Yeah, and you talked about Portland being ground zero for the nuns, the nun zone. Where else will we find, is it a West Coast thing or just really a lot of places?
Well, you know, I would respond to that in two ways, Kate. I think one, you know, scholars, sociologists of religion have historically acknowledged that, you know, the Northwest in general, the Pacific Northwest in particular, has never really been a churchy sort of place. Portland, Oregon in particular, has not... Historically, it's never really been, you know, a kind of hot spot for, you know, church proliferation. And I think that's also because part of the, you know, the political progressive domain in which we are. But, you know, I think this has been going on for a long time. I think even in places where one would not expect, one would find that people are doing things that don't necessarily equate with traditional and conventional religion. So up until this point, Kate, that we've been talking about this phenomena, you know, of the nun zone in terms of a very geographical, it's been particular to, you know, certain, geographical domains. And, you know, here there is a large, like, native spirituality, you know, this individualized quest for meaning, this kind of postmodern quest for meaning. But, you know, I just wrote a new book called Religion and Hip Hop that came out in early August, and I think that we find this more generally in American culture. I think we've been more hybrid and more syncretic about religiosity and spirituality than what has been traditionally recognized. And I find these kinds of studies troubling, Kate. I find the social scientific method by which we ask people about their religious life worlds, their spiritual life worlds, to be a little bit problematic. And more often than not, religion is seen as that which is lodged in or confined to institutional motifs and understanding.
So do you think eventually, as more people understand this, and that's obviously what you're trying to do too, do you think more people will embrace it and say, hey, this is, you know, this is now what we've morphed into as a society, so we have traditions and then we have new things, but hey, it's religion, it's just religion in a different way.
Absolutely. I'm hoping definitely that people embrace this and sort of see, and I think what it speaks to, Kate, is the reality that, you know, to be human is to be complex. And even when we claim, like, for example, I was raised in the Black church, even if I claim the Black church as my sort of religious home, there are many other practices in my life that make up what it means to be human. I think it points to the kind of complexity of human life and humanity, how we find meaning. I also think that this level of understanding should put experts, and especially social scientists in particular, on, you know, it should put them sort of on guard in a way. It should sort of help to wake up the social scientific community that there has to be a different kind of way of measuring this thing that we call religion, spirituality, or meaning-making. There has to be different questions that are asked, because the old questions aren't working anymore. And I think that this is what this type of data is saying. The old questions are missing the mark, but they don't necessarily tell us about what is happening.
Yeah.
And what is going on. And so, for example, here in Portland, Oregon, you know, one of the concepts that I've developed from the preliminary data is an idea of faith in the flesh. So if you want to know what young people believe, I think there's this growing sort of religiosity around what I call faith in the flesh. So in other words, dancing, fashion, tattooing, body modification, these sorts of things hold an amazing amount of significance in the lives of young people, in the same way that church might hold a certain kind of significance for the older generation. But we're not capturing that on these social scientific surveys. It's not really tapped into.
Yeah, in the future, hopefully it will be. Hey, if somebody wants to get a copy of your book, Religion and Hip Hop, how can they do that?
So it is available on Amazon, Kate, and I also have a website, www.religionandhiphop.com. And to find more information about how I'm serving, how I'm analyzing and surveying young people here on, you know, in the center of the Nun Zone, you know, ground zero, as you say, for the Nun Zone, you can check out www.remakingreligion.com. I'm also on Twitter at Religion Hip Hop.
I love it. Dr. Monica Miller, thanks so much for coming on the show. We'll talk to you again down the line.
Thanks for having me, Kate.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Have a great night.
You too.
No, iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at Terraganics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.
This is the end. I've drowned and dreamt this moment. So overdue, I owe day. Swept away, I'm stolen. Let the sky fall and it crumbles.
Adele belting one out. Time for our cheap movie reviews. One of my favorite things to do is I'm such a huge movie fan. I say this all the time. It's like mind relaxer for me. And it's not always that I go and see them on the big screen. Sometimes it's just renting them, having them. Now it's so cheap to get flicks anymore. And honestly, folks, I'm telling you, other than smashing a golf ball, if you just need to chill, to just get away from all the things that are pawing at you, movies are a great escape. And I still believe there's something for everyone. Sometimes you have to dig around a little bit. We're going to expand on our cheap movie reviews. I'm going to go through the vault, and I'm going to give you certain genres coming up in the next couple of weeks of movies maybe that you haven't seen. Here's one I do want to see. I remember living through this. Do you remember the whole thing with this made Ted Koppel's career, the Iran hostage crisis, when he would go on Nightline and it was night after night after night, day, whatever, of the hostage crisis? Well, this movie is called Argo. It's a flat 2-hour flick. So you got to factor in all the previews and everything so you can get a seat. But Ben Affleck stars in it. Guy I like, Bryan Cranston, who is the lead character in Breaking Bad. John Goodman is in this. Alan Arkin is in it. And it's the true story of a covert op to rescue the six Americans. And the way they did it was so, so clever. But take a listen to this snippet.
Actions of Iran have shocked the civilized world.
The hostages went out a back exit. You have 72 hours to get them out.
I got an idea. I fly into Tehran. We fly out together as a film crew.
You need a script. You need a producer.
Suicide missions have better odds than this.
They're asking us to trust you with our lives.
This is what I do, and I've never left anyone behind.
Argo, rated R, starts October 12th.
Yep, and it's all about that, you know, as I said, it's all about what happened to the Iran hostages and the fact that they were filming a fake movie. How do you get in and how do you get out with the crush of masses of people and the protests? The way to do it is one of the ways that was thrown out there was let's make a fake movie, and apparently it worked. And this wasn't revealed for a very, very long time. So I love the premise of it. Love it, love it, love it. I think it has all the markings of a good movie. I truly believe that it'll be tops at the box office. Here's another one that's completely different because it has to do with comedy. So it's not the genre of action, adventure, that kind of stuff. It's a movie that is just kind of slapsticky and has Kevin James as a star, as a high school teacher who moonlights as a mixed martial arts fighter. Ooh, that has potential, doesn't it? Here's what it sounds like.
You're late.
I was teacher of the year.
That was 10 years ago.
Feels like 8, though, right?
As you already know, Wilkinson High School has been operating at a budget deficit.
We are cutting all extracurricular activities.
Everyone's quit on these kids.
Why not just raise the money?
Oh, and who's going to do that?
We will.
So what is the plan?
I got to figure this thing out.
Well, yeah, right after you watch the fight.
It's hard to believe he got 10 grand for that performance.
But he lost.
If he won, it would have been 50.
I want to fight mixed martial arts.
This is crazy. Do you even know how to do that?
No. No, I do not.
You're a school teacher, Scott.
Should we call somebody?
You want to be a fighter? You start in the cage.
Is that a chicken?
This is bottom level.
You're going to follow in the footsteps of all those great warriors that put fear in the hearts of their opponents.
You dislocated your shoulder.
You got to help me.
You ready?
I always wanted to try this.
Try this? What do you mean try? You never done this?
No!
You know what? You're not cutting anything. That's the first installment right there.
Oh, timeout! What timeout?
Timeout?
There's no timeout, guy.
You're getting beat up in your bathing suit. You are embarrassing this school. If you don't make an effort, nothing's ever going to change.
Firing your students, I see.
All right, everybody, let's get our story straight. Derek did it.
It's all.
Yeah, come on, guys. We're making a mess here.
Gonna be able to do this.
You can quit right now, and everything we work for will have been accomplished. Our students, they're expired.
Hey, man, great fight.
You can only imagine some of the things that happen in this. And the cast, Selma Hayek's in it. Henry Winkler, the Fonz from a zillion years ago. And Kevin James plays a 42-year-old biology teacher, not in the best of shape either, and decides to not have his music program canceled. So the way to raise money is to do the mixed martial arts. Boy, that's extreme, isn't it? It has potential. I love the plot. 7 Psychopaths, 1 hour, 49 minutes. Sam Rockwell's in it. Chris Walken is in it. Also Colin Farrell and Woody Harrelson. I saw a little bit of a preview one time at another movie that I was at, and it looked kind of intriguing to me. It has some elements in it. Kidnapping, gangsters, and shih tzus. Check it out.
It has everything in the dog kidnapping business.
Hi, is this your dog?
Oh, my God. I'm so glad to pay you. Thank you so much.
Are you serious?
Not borrowing business. I ain't talking about that either.
Mr. Costello, please don't hurt me.
Why are you walking him, Charisse?
You love your dog so much, Mr. Costello, when you're such an angry type person. You just think it was my fault and drag me back here and tie me up and kill me.
Yeah, that was pretty good. Yeah.
I always loved Bonnie like he was my own child.
One, I do not want that image in my head. Two,
could you go get my dog back?
What the hell happened?
Some punks jumped us.
Oh, yeah.
Said they were looking for a little shih tzu.
You think she's the one that they're after?
I almost got killed today because you kidnapped the wrong dog.
Are you guys serious?
Wow.
I just called up old Charlie Costello. I told him to come down and get his dog back. He said, if you had trouble finding us, just look for a Buick Empire.
Well, that's just great.
What a way to end that one. So you can imagine, I think there's a lot of swearing in this. And it is about a struggling screenwriter who becomes somehow entangled in a criminal underworld, nefarious group of people. His oddball friends kidnap a gangster's beloved dogs, the Shih Tzus, and then it unravels from there. There's a couple of other movies that are out, like Atlas Shrugged Part 2. It's limited release, so it's the second part, obviously. Unemployment, 24%. Gas, $42 a gallon. You get the idea here. Ayn Rand, that's what this is. Atlas Shrugged Part 2. Samantha Mathis is the lead. I saw the first one, and it actually was pretty good. There's another movie out, a couple of movies that are out in that, in just a tiny, small release, because it is tiny. Special Forces is one of them. It's about a war correspondent who's taken hostage by the Taliban. So she's going to be executed. A Special Forces unit is dispatched to free her in some of the most hostile areas, but the most breathtaking landscape. This has good potential, at least for a rental down the line. Diane Kruger is the lead actress in this one. And Taken 2 continues to rock at the box office. The first one was such a sleeper hit with Liam Neeson. You know, there are a couple of good movies that are out that you might not have seen already, and that would be on my list. A lot of people I know went to see End of Watch with Jake Gyllenhaal. They said it was good. This was about a couple of L.A. cops and some of the mean streets in South Central L.A. Might be worth a rental in the near future. Thanks to everybody who called in and for all of you listening, sending me notes and all that kind of stuff. We'll see what happens in the presidential debate. We'll be talking about it next week, certainly. Thanks to Charles Sadler for his fine work on America Tonight. You relax and enjoy the weekend, everyone.
Oh, great! You know what that is? You know what that is?
Great.
Bought a few bottles of Heart and Body Extract and have to say that it certainly does work.
That's what Jack from Michigan had to say after his experience with heart pain and what he did to treat it with Heart and Body Extract.
I actually had a huge heart flutter. I was also having some edema around my ankles and very worrisome clot in my right leg that would happen from time to time while I was trying to sleep.
Heart and Body Extract is all natural with no negative side effects. It will help repair or correct past problems associated with the heart and body circulation.
After my second bottle of Heart and Body Extract, all problems are now gone.
Order at hvextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
I ordered a third bottle of Heart and Body Extract for maintenance, as I want to keep everything working.
Order Heart and Body Extract at 866-295-5305 or hvextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.